Sa uttama shloka mahan mukat chuto. Bhavat param bhoja shuddha karanila. Smitim punar vishmita tattva vartmanam. Yoginam no vitarat yalam varai.
Yoginam no vitarat yalam varai.
Translation. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. Nice verse. Purport. It's explained in the previous verse that one has to hear glorification of the Lord from the mouth of a pure devotee. This is further explained here. The transcendental vibration from the mouth of a pure devotee is so powerful that it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our material existence under the influence of the illusory Maya, we have almost forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord, exactly like a man sleeping very deeply who forgets his duties. In the Vedas it is said that every one of us is sleeping under the influence of Maya. We must get up from the slumber and engage in the right service, for thus we can properly utilize the facility of this human form of life. As explained in a song by Thakur Bhakti Vinod, Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jaga, Jeev Jaga. The Lord asks every sleeping living entity to get up and engage in devotional service so that his mission in this human form of life may be fulfilled. This awakening voice comes to the mouth of a pure devotee. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, and therefore he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up until that moment he had forgotten everything. For a conditioned soul, therefore, it is very important to hear from the mouth of a pure devotee who is fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desire, speculative knowledge, or contamination of the modes of material nature. Every one of us is a kuyogi because we have engaged in the service of this material world, forgetting our eternal relationship with the Lord as His eternal loving servants. It is our duty to rise from the kuyoga platform to become suyogis, perfect mystics. The process of hearing from a pure devotee is recommended in all Vedic scriptures, especially by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One may stay in his position of life, it does not matter what it is, but if one hears from the mouth of a pure devotee, he gradually comes to the understanding of his relationship with the Lord and thus engages in his loving service, and his life becomes completely perfect. Therefore, this process of hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee is very important for making progress in the line of spiritual understanding. Translation again. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. So in this very beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam and very eloquent purport by Srila Prabhupada, we hear the benefit that comes from associating with pure devotees of the Lord, of all the means of advancing in spiritual life, associating with mature, unalloyed, pure devotees, it appears to be the best. There's many means of making spiritual progress, but associating with devotees, pure devotees, is the best. This is actually stressed throughout our Gaudiya Vaishnava literature. Elsewhere it's stated, Deva Setrani Tirthani Dushana Svarshanarja Nahi, that one can become gradually purified by seeing, touching, and worshipping temple deities, pilgrimage places, and holy rivers. But one can attain the same result immediately simply by receiving the glance of exalted sages. It's a beautiful verse. And how is it so that one can make such quick advancement by the glance of a pure devotee? Srila Prabhupada has explained that we all take on the qualities of that with which we associate. Association is so important. In fact, one time Prabhupada said, he said, I created this international society for Krishna consciousness just for the purpose of association with all our temples and our ashrams and our farms and our whatever. It's all there for the purpose that we can come together and associate, because we take on the qualities of that with which we associate. In the material world, we see a child is somewhat innocent as they grow up. Most children are innocent. They don't display many qualities one way or the other. They're just kind of absorbing life when they're very young. But which direction they go in life depends a lot upon their association. For example, as you're growing up and you're inclined, you associate with businessmen, then after some time you begin to manifest the qualities and the symptoms of a businessman. You walk like them, you talk like them, you eat like them in the restaurants, you have your certain slogans, your different words and characteristics of a businessman, just by association. If you associate with athletes, then you develop the characteristics of an athlete, and if you associate with musicians, then you become like a musician. It's all a question of association. So, in the same way, if we're fortunate to associate with devotees, then we become like devotees. Tatikshava krunika shuridam shavadehinam achata shatava shanta shadava shadabhushana. Devotees are decorated with all good qualities. They're saintly. As Jesus said, become like thy Father in heaven. Not that we become God, but we become godly. So devotees are saintly by association. We weren't necessarily saintly before we came to Krishna consciousness. Of course, maybe some of you were. But I think the majority of devotees were the opposite. But some amazing miracle has come about. Everyone sitting in this room, to a greater or lesser degree, I would like to say a greater degree, are saintly because of sustained association with the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, one time Prabhupada said, no matter what happens, never leave ISKCON. Even if you're going through a rough patch, if you're having trouble, if your bad qualities are... just stay in the association. Because by that association, the bad qualities are removed and the saintly qualities manifest. It has to work like that. He Prabhupada gave the example of a glass which is filled with ink. Ink's a very, you know, indelible ink. Stains anything. If you pour milk continuously into that glass, what happens? The ink comes out, it flows away, and eventually, it's just pure milk. So although we have may have many bad qualities in our hearts, lust, anger, and greed, avarice, by the sustained association of saintly persons, saintly devotees, pouring the milk, when the bad qualities are removed, and what we're left with is the milk with the essence of Krishna consciousness. It's all a question of association. After all, we are the tatashta shakti of the Lord. We're the tiny infinitesimal spiritual sparks. And being so, we can be influenced either by spirit or by matter. We're very tiny, so we can become overwhelmed by spiritual association, or we can be overwhelmed by material association. It's not because we're spiritual we can't be affected by the material. Although spiritual is superior to matter, spirit moves matter. If there's no spirit, if there's no conscious living entity, then the matter will not move. Nevertheless, because we're very tiny in comparison to this cosmic manifestation, we can be very much influenced by it. So if we associate with materialistic people, we become degraded. Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, Asat Sangha Tyaga Avaishnava Chara, that a Vaishnava in particular should be very careful not to intimately associate with ordinary people. When you think about it, it's interesting because we spend most of our time as preachers, those who are actually actively preaching, we spend most of our time in the association of materialistic people. So are we obeying this order of Mahaprabhu? Asat Sangha Tyaga Avaishnavachara. Don't associate with materialistic people. Are we dissipating? No. Because we're not going out to take association, we're going out to give association. So we remain unaffected. But we should know that if we are inclined to get some association due to our lusty material desires, then that can be the cause of our fall down. And it doesn't take much of that association to become entangled again. The other day we were discussing the history of Ajamil, who was a Pukka Brahmin boy. He was born into a Brahmin family, which says something. To be born into a Pukka Brahmin family means that in one's previous life, one had been very pious. It's not by chance. Of course, it depends how one utilizes that birth, but to have that birth means is an indication of what one did previously. So, Pukka boy, and he was nicely trained, sincere, enthusiastic, but walking through the forest to the ashram of his guru, and he chanced upon a sudra couple embracing and kissing. He was a young boy in the blooming youth, and the effect was that his mind became disturbed. And that little seed led to the history of Ajamil, that he fell down from his brahminical practices and eventually married a prostitute and they had children. He maintained, you can leave that open, he maintained them by thievery. So how did it all happen? The seed was there. Just like I'm traveling constantly around the world, so the doctor recommended you should get an H1N1 shot, a shot for swine flu. I said, no, I don't want to get a shot for swine flu. He said, no, he said, it's so easy to pick up. He said, you're especially on the airplanes. He said, because in the airplanes, it's recycled air, he was telling me. It's not that they're getting some new air from the outside. On the airplane, it's all recycled air from the moment you leave until the moment that you arrive at your next destination. You're just breathing the same air. Even if you're just sitting next to one passenger, you're breathing the air that was breathed by a passenger 40 rows back. So if anyone has H1N1, you may get it. That little bug. I said, give me the jab, doctor. Well, I got it in Australia for free, because here you can get it for free. Locked her. Even before I said yes, she was pulling out the needle and like this. Okay. So what's coming into my body? One little germ like that, but it, because it's so small, the body produces an antibodies against it, so that when the real, the big germ comes, well, relatively bigger, then you're protected. This is how dangerous Maya can be. Therefore, how careful we have to control our mind and senses as we move through mundane society. And conversely, as when we're in the association of devotees in a Krishna conscious atmosphere, how much we have to open up our spiritual senses. Hear with full attention. See the beautiful form of the deity. Smell the incense in the temple. Chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, asatsanga, a little worldly association, can cause one to become impure. But fortunately, this same principle holds true as regards spiritual association. Elsewhere, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Shuta Goswami says, Tula yama lave napi nasvargam napunar bhavam bhavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim uta shisha. Very beautiful verse. He says the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. So he uses the word lave, tula yama lave napi, the value of a moment's association. You just get a brief association with an exalted devotee of the Lord. The benefits from that association can't be compared to someone's attaining Svargaloka and living a long duration of life, 10,000 years by the calculation, and all the opulence that you get to enjoy. And we won't go into any detail. Or even liberation from matter, mukti, nirvana, cessation of all material, that doesn't even compare with tulya yama lave napi. A little, just a brief association with an advanced devotee. And that the verse actually states that we should associate this principle is especially effective in the association of pure devotees. Not that it's ineffective in the association of beginning devotees or intermediate devotees, because we know that most of us came in contact with Krishna consciousness to the via medium of a new devotee or an intermediate devotee, a Sankirtan devotee. So it's not that it's ineffective, but it's especially powerful if we get the association of pure devotees. Why particularly pure devotees? Because Prabhupada has stressed that pure devotees are more inclined to share their Krishna consciousness with others. A neophyte devotee is basically in the temple getting fixed up. And an intermediate devotee is preaching. He's giving his association, but he limits his association to the innocent people. He doesn't necessarily give his association to demoniac people. In fact, he's taught that he serves and worships his beloved Lord. He makes friends with devotees. He preaches to the innocent, but he avoids the demoniac. So that means that people who are particularly sinful or not so much inclined, a madhyamadakari may not give his association to those people. And unfortunately, as Kali Yuga advances, that becomes the majority. People are not so innocent anymore. People are, even if you want to be pure, you're just forced to become impure by such bad association, like Prabhupada would sometimes call the educational institutions slaughterhouses. What does he mean? It means that if you go to a mundane institution to get educated, in general, this is not the case for devotees because they protect themselves by their sadhana. But if someone with an innocent heart goes to a mundane university, very often they become more involved in the extracurricular activities than their own studies. They end up partying more than studying. I won't ask any of you if you had that experience, but the social life becomes more prominent in their lives than the actual reason that they're there, to hit the books, put your nose to the books and study. They find themselves associating with the opposite sex, they're taking drugs, they go to football games, they go to bars, they go to pubs like you see here in Sydney. What people do for their recreation is they just go and stand outside a bar and drink beer. That's the highest platform of happiness in Sydney. So, but the Madhyamataka, in order to protect himself, he doesn't associate with demoniac people. And his potency is not such that he can deliver a demoniac person. It takes a very potent person like Narada Muni to preach to someone like Makrari the hunter. A hunter is Atmahana. Ishvapanishad describes such a person who kills for his food, or even eats food procured by violence, meat. He's Atmahani, he's killer of the soul. You can't kill the soul, the jayate, mriyate, vakara, chinnayam, bhutva, bhavita, vanuguya, but what it means is you kill the soul's chances for self-realization. There's no hope left for you if you engage in these derogatory, sinful activities. It's just, but if you meet an uttam adhikari, like Narada Muni, he has the power to change your course of destiny. Just like Narada Muni associated with one little Sudra boy, or let us say, the Vaishnavas gave their association to Narada Muni when he appeared to be a conditioned soul in the body of a Sudra boy serving. When they came to serve, or when they came to preach, they came to take a break from their preaching. They lived in the house of his mother. She was serving prasad. And the little boy Narada Muni had the experience himself. He said he got the remnants of some of their prasad. And he said immediately the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to him. He got some mahaprasad from these mahabhagavata devotees of the Lord. So they're... Whereas a Madhyamadhikari may not have the potency to deliver certain conditioned souls, Uttamadhikaris, they have that power. Like Narada Muni, even, we hear how he has one disciple, Snake. One Snake came to take shelter of Narada Muni. And the story, not a story, you say a pastime, is such that he even delivered the snake. He gave initiation to the snake, we hear. And the snake slithered back into town. And all the boys were throwing rocks at the snake. But the snake was encouraged by his spiritual master to be nonviolent, so he didn't bite. He came back and he complained to Narada Muni, the boys are throwing stones. You instructed me, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So I can't be, my heart has changed. So Narada Muni chastised, you fool. He said, you should just show your fangs, don't use them. Use your intelligence, don't bite, but show your fangs, they'll run away. I didn't tell you to give up your intelligence. I told you to give up your sinful propensities. I didn't say to give up your intelligence. So show your fangs and the boys will go away. So this is Narada Muni. So Uttama Adhikari, a pure devotee's vision, is that every living entity is serving the Lord, either the Lord's material energy or his spiritual energy. So he's much more inclined to share his mercy with others. Just like if you win a lottery, you'll naturally want to share the money with your family members first. So a pure devotee sees everyone as Krishna's servant. And he's freely inclined to give that association, even to the demoniac. So if one wants Krishna consciousness, it makes sense to go to the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Another reason that the verse stresses associating with pure devotees of the Lord is because of their purity. Their strength of Krishna consciousness is not compromised by material desires. It's not watered down. The pure devotee of the Lord is a veritable transparent via medium. The example has been given of different conductors of electricity. One may use some base metal to conduct electricity. You know, wires are made of different types of metal, which the electricity flows through. So some base metal may, electricity may go through, but better than just a base metal is copper. The electricity goes through the copper quicker, more potent. But one of the most potent forms of conducting electricity is gold. That's why sometimes they use gold on the tips of different electrical instruments, because the current goes very quickly in full force through the gold. It's considered the best conductor, just like my disciple, Narottam Das Thakur Das Adhikari in Mumbai. He was a poor boy. He was born on the wrong side of the tracks in Bombay. Poor family. But he began an industry where he was collecting scrap metal. Who wants to go around and collect the scrap metal? That's considered like really low class. What do? I collect iron rods and bolts and nuts and rusty plates and cups. Oh, really? Where did you go to school? Well, I didn't go to school. I just started collecting this. We call that scrap metal. So he would go down to the shipyards, and sometimes the big ships, they would just offload their scrap somewhere. But he may have been poor, but he was not dumb. He was a smart boy. So he would collect all these electrical appliances and instruments that people had thrown away after many years, and he would start taking the little bits of gold off the tips of those electrical instruments. And you may think that's not very much, but if you're determined, it's a lot of scrap. He started collecting, I don't know if I should say this publicly, a lot of gold. In fact, he collected so much that one time he gave me a little gold bar, which I use to place one of my shalagrams on in Poland. Pure 24 karat unalloyed gold. Big, fat bar. I said, how do you do this? Yeah, it took about 6 months. 6 months? He said, yeah, shh. There's a lot of gold out there on the tip of those instruments. He just amassed it, and there's a process. You can collect it from, you know, you can detach it from all those instruments. And eventually, if you're dealing with tons and tons and tons of scrap metal, which he did in due course of time, his business became one of the biggest scrap metal businesses in Mumbai. He acquired a lot of gold, and then he invested it in other businesses as well. So this is business. But the reason it's there, because it's the best conductor. So in the same way, if our heart is like iron, like full of lusty desires, then we cannot be a transparent via medium for the Lord, through which the message of Krishna consciousness can pass through loud and clear. If one's heart is like gold, pure, freed from lust and anger and greed, then the message of the Lord can come through the conducting to very nice and very clear. So we need to hear from devotees who have hearts like gold, pure, unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Like Prabhupada said, this chanting of Hare Krishna is always beneficial, however one hears it. But it's especially beneficial if heard from the lips of a pure devotee. So we should hope for the association of such devotees. Or better yet, we should earn the right to have their association. We shouldn't sit around hoping, boy, I hope I can get it. We should merit such association. And we merit that association by dint of our devotional service. By devotional service, the Lord becomes pleased. And the reward for such service is we get the association of pure devotees of the Lord. We want nothing more, really, than such association. Mahat sevam dwaram mahur vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Sangi sangam. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees, the Bhagavatam says. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should render service to Mahatmas. So if by chance or by good fortune or by dint of our devotional service, we find ourselves in the association of nice devotees of the Lord, how do we associate with them? What does it mean to associate with a devotee? Just go up and give him a big hug? We do that a lot nowadays in Krishna consciousness. We just give devotees a hug. Is that the most intimate association with the devotee of the Lord? Well, surely there's some benefit in that. But Prabhupada gives indication here in the purport. The best way to associate with these devotees, he says, he concludes his purport, therefore this process of hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee is very important for making progress in the line of spiritual understanding. Basically, we just listen, like we're doing now. We're hearing from a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, by reading his translations and his purports and repeating what he has to say. I just have to sit in here. Actually, when you think of the classic guru-disciple relationship, what do you think? You think of the ashram in the forest and the jungle, and the master is sitting there speaking and the disciple is listening, like here. This is one of my favorite pictures. It may also be one of your favorite pictures. The picture in the Bhagavatam where we see Shukadev Goswami is sitting and instructing Maharaj Pariksit. Why, of so many paintings in ISKCON, why did the BBT choose to put this one in the inside of the front cover and the back cover of every one of the cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, every book? Why this? Just to emphasize, this is the process for making advancement, sitting and hearing. We were spending, these are valuable moments of the day, the early morning hours. This is when everything is relatively calm and quiet, and we could be utilizing this time in many ways. People are now driving to work because that's their desire, to get to work early and begin making money. We're getting out there a little late. We're out there by 10 or 11 usually, Sankirtan devoted, whatever. Because we want to utilize this time for sitting and hearing. Shukadev Goswami is sitting on the Vyasasan and Maharaj Pariksit, not only Maharaj Pariksit is there, but it appears, from what I can see, I don't know, they didn't have any sound system. I guess it just some kind of mystical thing was going on. But you can count 1,000 heads here. Listening to him speak. So therefore it's easy to conclude that the best way to associate with a pure devotee like Shukadev Goswami or Suta Goswami or Srila Prabhupada is to simply hear from their lotus mouth. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavatam sevaya bhagavati utam shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. I think most devotees who give Bhagavatam class, they know that verse. By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome within the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is praised, whose praise with transcendental song becomes established as an irrevocable fact. So, we are in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. So how is this so valuable? Why don't we just read the Bhagavatam, just read the verses? Why do we need Prabhupada's purports, and why do we need to hear from Prabhupada's representatives, meaning his immediate disciples or their disciples, or in the future their disciples? Why don't we just, if hearing is so potent, why don't we just hear straight from the Bhagavatam? No, we're meant to hear from the devotee of the Lord. Krishna says, one who says is my devotee is not my devotee. One who says is the devotee of my devotee is my devotee. Why is it so valuable, even more valuable to hear from the devotee than to hear directly from the Bhagavatam? Because the example is given of the shuka, or the parrot. The parrot, there's this nice mango on the tree. Some succulent, delicious mango, just ready to burst open with the sweet juice of the mango. It's hanging on the tree, it's yellow, there's some little brown spots on it, that's how you know the mango's ready. And you can just smell it. But the shuka, the parrot, he comes and he's hungry. What does he eat? He eats all, he likes mangoes, fruits, seeds. So he sits on the tree and he just taste that mango a little bit. He takes a little drink from the mango. And in doing so, he releases some saliva into the fruit, making it even sweeter than before. I don't know if I've ever eaten a mango that's been eaten by a parrot, but I would sure like to, just to confirm it. I have full faith in the analogy, but I'd like to taste how sweet that actually is. But I have some idea, because I've heard the purpose of my spiritual master from Srimad Bhagavatam. And they make the Bhagavatam very, very sweet. I remember one time Prabhupada chastised us in Chicago. One of my godbrothers, Bahalasa, was reading Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And not that it's wrong, but Prabhupada said, his books are for me and my books are for you. He didn't, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote in a very, according to time, place, and certain, very elaborate English. Even now I have a hard time understanding his purports to Brahma Samhita. So Prabhupada said to that, to Bahalasa, he said, my Guru Maharaj's books are for me because I'm his disciple, and my books are for you, my disciples. Because as the message comes down, it's commented on by each acharya in our line. That message is understood by the people of that time, place, and circumstance, and it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Never becomes hackneyed. That's an old English word, or old, or stale, satiated words Prabhupada used. It's always fresh. Every time we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, it's always that much better. We all have that. Otherwise, why would we continue chanting, hankering for the chanting? Last night at the meditation workshop, we came to the conclusion, the final conclusion. We took them through different stages of meditation. Deep, relaxed, rejuvenated. And then we brought them the joy through bhajan, chanting. And then we passed the beads around, the japa beads, to all the participants. There was about 35, something like 35, 40 people last night. So they all had the beads. They're looking at the beads. What's this? That this is the next, this is the fourth type of meditation. I said, this is the best meditation. I said, will they bill me as a world expert on meditation? But I said, as a world expert, if you want to know, this is my favorite. So that, because they've already tasted the bliss from, you know, getting a little detached from all the anxiety of the world by just going in and aloof from it, I said, this will bring you the joy. I could see they were eager to start chanting. So we'll chant together on the beads. So we did. We went maybe halfway through. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And I said, you know, we'll go halfway. And so halfway through I stopped, but I could see people were so frustrated. I was thinking, well, maybe it's too much for them. But I could see when we stopped, they went, oh, they wanted to go on more. Because it just gets better and better and better. So the Bhagavatam is like that. Even we hear the same stories, the same analogy, the same philosophy over and over again, it's ever fresh. I mean, all the Bhagavatam speakers in ISKCON, the gurus, the sannyasis, the temple presidents, and our Jambavadis giving class, and other devotees are giving class, we're not saying anything different. We're all making the same points. We just have our personal stories, or we have a particular verse that we like, or some analogy but it's basically the same thing, but we just drink it up day after day after day. By hearing from the devotees, that Bhagavatam becomes like our life and soul, our very life and soul. Therefore, Srila Sanatana Goswami, who received that Bhagavatam when he was 7 years old, he had a dream that a Brahmana appeared to him at the door and gave him a Bhagavatam and instructed him to read it. So this is described in Gopi's foreword to the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. So Srila Sanatana Goswami, when he woke up, there was a knock on the door. He went to the door and there was a Brahmana there and gave him a Bhagavatam. He took it as an indication from the Lord, not an ordinary dream or an occurrence, and he began to study that Bhagavatam. We know that after he retired from his government service, what did he do? He just went home and studied the Bhagavatam with the Council of Brahmanas. It became so dear to him. So he wrote many verses glorifying the Bhagavatam. He said, Mad eka bhandu mad sangim, mad guru man mahadana, man nishta raktar mad bhakya, mad ananda namo shrute. Oh, my only friend, speaking to the Bhagavatam, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down before you. Ashadhu shaduda dhanin ati nicho chita kara hana muncha kadachin mam premna hrid kantayosh pura. Oh, speaking to the Bhagavatam, O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Isn't that a great verse? O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. So, what is the result of such hearing? We're hearing it's such an amazing thing to come in contact with exalted devotees of the Lord and hear this philosophy coming from their lotus mouth. So, we would expect, as that is something so amazing, the results should also be amazing. Phalina parichyate. You judge something by the result. If something is insignificant, then you would expect some insignificant result. But if something is very amazing, you would expect an amazing result. Just like when Barack Obama became the president, people think this is amazing. A black Afro-American man has become the president of one of the greatest countries in the world, and he has a law degree from such and such universities. So something amazing is going to happen. Because nothing amazing is happening, people are losing faith now in Barack Obama, unfortunately. But generally, if something's insignificant, you don't expect a very big result. If something's amazing, well, we want to see it. So what is the amazing result of hearing this simple process of hearing? We would expect that there would be something amazing happening, and it does. If you regularly associate with devotees of the Lord and you hear from them, what happens? What two amazing things happen? You feel a gradual slacking of interest in the affairs of this world, and you develop an increasing desire to serve the Lord of your heart, Krishna. This we should see. If someone is regularly attending Bhagavatam class, reading, hearing, chanting their rounds, it doesn't matter who they are. If they're doing it properly, we will see a slackening of interest in the material affairs, and we'll see an increase. Oh, I want to associate with these people more and more, these Hare Krishnas. I want to hear the Bhagavatam. I want to chant, to serve the deity. Shrinvatam svat katha krishna punya shravana kirtana hridhyantashto abhadvani vidonati shuritshatam. The Bhagavatam says you should expect something like that to happen. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, one who's practicing in all truthfulness, earnestness, not to make a show, not to pass time, but very serious to make progress in Krishna consciousness, that Lord cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. That's the effect. Something has to happen. You have to have a change of heart. Religion is not just for going to the church or the mosque or the temple for some social activities and coming out the same old person, coming out the door the same old person. There has to be a change of heart. As you practice your spiritual tradition, as you practice your religion, as you practice Krishna consciousness, we want to see something happening. And what happens? You relinquish your material desires. Those desires which you're holding on to for dear life, to maintain material desires, even after hearing so many instructions on the matter, what am I going to do? Just keep going to class, keep chanting your rounds, keep associating with devotees. It'll all fall away. Just like you have your baby teeth, in due course of time, they're all going to fall out. They're going to be replaced by mature adult teeth. If you stick to the process, for some it'll happen quicker, for some it'll happen, but it's bound to happen. Those material desires which are real obstacles, we are our own worst enemy on the path of devotional service. If we are not advancing, we have no one to blame but ourselves, because we're maintaining lust, we're maintaining anger, we're maintaining greed. What to do? Just stick to it. And what will happen? They'll go away. A beautiful verse in the Padyavali. O Lord, your devotee sees the king of rivers as a handful of water, the sun like a firefly. He sees Mount Meru like a clump of earth, and the emperor of the world as a simple servant. He sees a multitude of Chintamani jewels like pebbles. He sees a valuable Kalpadruma tree like a mere stick, the entire world like a bunch of straw, and his own body a burden only. That's what happens. But of course, that's not the goal in and of itself, to just become freed from the material desires. It's a necessary step. It's what Rupa Goswami calls anartha nivritti, to become. Nartha means what is wanted. Anartha means what is unwanted. So by practicing Krishna consciousness, all the anarthas, the unwanted things in the heart, become purified. Ado shuddha tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya anartha nivritti syat. Just stick to it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam, Hare. But Krishna consciousness is more about developing love of God than becoming free from anarthas. We're focused on that right now, but really that's only 50%. After the anarthas are there, then real Krishna consciousness begins. One time Prabhupada said, pure devotion to the Lord begins when one becomes freed from sex desire. So just like a sick man, he focuses all his energy on getting better. And finally that day comes, the illness is gone. But that's not the end. There's a whole other way of life awaiting him, a healthy life. Just like one time, I always give the example, but sometimes our personal examples, we have more realizations than other examples that we may use. One time I had hepatitis, I think for, it must have been about 5 months. I was yellow as a banana. I got a real bad dose of it. I was walking in Vrindavan and I slipped into the sewer of Vrindavan down by Keshigat. You know how the sewer comes out there? Just, and I was walking, I slipped, went underneath, and I drank some of it. I came out all black. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what a offender I must have been somewhere along the line. Sure enough, 14 days later, when I came to Australia, actually I came to Melbourne, maybe some of you remember, I was in Melbourne, I had a raging fever, and I was upstairs, and all the kids were coming and jumping all around my bed, and the doctor said, hepatitis, boom, everybody disappeared. And then, I don't know how, but somehow, I guess I wanted to see a specific doctor. I flew in that condition to South Africa, and Pallad was my very loyal servant at that time. I could hardly make it even to the bathroom, so he was cleaning up after me and feeding me and washing me. This is a real menial servant. And we just focused for months and months on getting me better. I couldn't even eat. And especially anything sweet. Oh, don't bring anything sweet in front of me. That analogy that a person with a diseased liver doesn't like sweets. But sweets is one way to cure the liver, and hepatitis is a disease of the liver. So I remember he bringing the sweet, oh, it tasted like poison. But I had to take the sweet because it cured the liver. And then eventually as the disease went away, oh, then the sweet tasted like sweet. So I really understood Prabhupada's analogy. That in the disease condition, this chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. It's not very pleasant. But keep chanting, it purifies, and then when you're cured of the disease of material life, then the chanting, Madhur, 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 Bhaji, becomes very sweet. So if you're chanting and it's not relishable, it means you're diseased. You're starting to taste some nectar from chanting. Ah, the cure is working. So I was in bed for 5 months, but then one day I was cured, or I pretended to be cured, and I went to Ratha Yatra. I was dancing like a madman. Remember Sri Hari said, how is this possible? You've been in bed for 5 months and you're dancing like a madman at Ratha Yatra. So like that, you get free from the disease, and then the healthy life begins. So in the same way, we get free to the anarthas, and then the real life of Krishna consciousness begins. That's what we're hankering for. Ado shuddha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya anartha nirvyat syat. And then what happens? Tata nishta ruchish tata, Rupa Goswami says. Tata, thereafter, nishta. You get some firm faith in Krishna consciousness. No doubting. Complete conviction. Ruchish tata. Tata comes some ruchis, some taste. This is the only taste you want. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Some temptation is coming. Ha! Are you kidding me? Get out of here. Just like Bibhamangal Thakur was saying. Now that I'm enjoying this ever-fresh taste, this ras of Krishna consciousness with Krishna, whenever I think how I used to enjoy mundane sex life, I simply spit at the thought. I just, what? The thoughts come. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam. Tata nishta ruchish tata. And then tata artha, tata bhava, tata prema. Tata thereafter comes artha ashakti, genuine attachment to Krishna. Then tata bhava, some emotion is coming. You're doing the same thing, but you're doing it with feeling. Affection. Actually, all Vaishnavas, the Kanishta, the Madhyam, the Uttama, we're all doing the same thing. It's not that when you become perfected, you start doing something else. You do the same thing. Prabhupada lived amongst us. We saw he was doing the same thing, but he was doing it with what? With bhav, with some emotion, some feeling. When he chanted, there was a difference between when we chanted. So this, Rupa Goswami says, kramaha. This is he uses the word kramaha, which is translated chronological order of the symptoms of love of Godhead as they come one by one. So that stage we're hankering for, that loving stage. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. That loving state, we're hankering for that. We should be hankering for that. Someone can say, but I've been in love before. I've experienced love. But you haven't experienced bhava. There's a difference between the love of this world and the bhava, the prema of the spiritual world. The acharyas give the analogy of iron and gold. Iron is like mundane love and gold is like prema. Both are metals, but there's a significant difference between the two. It's actually hard for us to understand because we've only experienced one. We haven't experienced the other. Right? We've experienced mundane love, but does anyone here have an idea of what is prema? So we can't really understand. So therefore analogies are given. Like gold and iron. Okay, yeah, I know it. I have some iron. I've seen gold. It's still. But the analogy helps. Dhruva Maharaj, he uses the analogy of what? Glass and a jewel. There's iron and gold. He uses the analogy of a piece of broken glass and a jewel. Stana bilasi tapasisti toham tvam paptavam deva munindaguyam kacham vichinvana pidivya ratnam swamin kutitarshmo varam niache. Oh my Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe types of penances and austerities. But now I have gotten you, who are difficult even for great demigods, saintly persons, and kings to attain. I was searching after a broken piece of glass, but instead, in your association, I have found a most valuable jewel. Therefore, I'm so satisfied, I don't want another benediction. I've achieved the supreme benediction. This love for your lotus feet. So we can't understand it yet. Rupa Goswami tries to help us in another way. He gives another type of analogy. He said, as young boys are attracted to young girls, yeah, I know that. Or young girls are attracted to young boys, oh yeah, I know that. So in the same way, with the same intensity, he said, let me have the same love and devotion in a transcendental way for your lotus feet. Oh, I'm getting the idea now. As young boys are attracted to girls and girls, okay, it's very intense. In the same way, but in a transcendental medium, let me be, I'm getting the idea now. But we really can't understand until we get to that point. So really, it's only a question of faith. Until we get to that point, you have to have faith that it's... Prabhupada said, faith means to put your trust in something sublime. So people have faith in scientists because scientists are very intelligent and they have very sophisticated instruments. So the layman can't go through all the time to understand those things. So when the scientist said this... But we don't consider that type of faith very significant because those are imperfect souls. We place our faith in perfected souls because up until now, the experience has been simply wonderful. One time that I told you the story, the boy came and said, Prabhupada, in the newspaper it says that the astronauts win and it's just dust. Prabhupada was, what? He said, in our Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says the moon is made of nectar. There's rivers of nectar. It's glowing from the kusha grass that's there. And so there's celestial rivers of nectar and demigods. So Prabhupada said, either we have to have faith in the newspaper or the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have to throw one of them out. So either we throw out the newspaper or we throw out the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The boy's sitting there, yeah. So Prabhupada threw the newspaper over his shoulder. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tasya te kahitartha pukashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. At our point, our nishta, because we heard about nishta, firm conviction, our nishta has to be in the spiritual master, the Lord's representative. That's how, because he's giving us the philosophy and teaching us the process to realize it. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is it really true that God's a cowherd boy with a flute and a peacock feather? And he dances with young girls on the banks of a river and surrounded by cows and peacocks? And Prabhupada said, stop. He said, do you think that I would cheat you? So our good fortune... Our greatest fortune is that we do have a bona fide representative of the Lord, a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord as our spiritual master, as our acharya, Srila Prabhupada. Let us hear from him regularly. Let us serve his instructions. Let us push forward his mission of Krishna consciousness in this world. And then by his merciful glance, one day we'll attain the cherished goal of Krishna consciousness. It all comes by mercy. Nothing mechanical in this process. It's a very spontaneous process. It'll all come by mercy. Isha yashvita mukhanam chitta samskaram ashodham vishram penu guru shiva vaishnavo chitta bhojanam. The medicinal herb to purify the minds of fools absorbed in sense pleasure is faithful service to Sri Guru. The diet is remnants of the Vaishnavas. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Hi Shor Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.